Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who looks upon us with compassion, forgives our sin, and heals our lives. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Have mercy, O God. Against you alone we have sinned. In your compassion, cleanse us from our guilt, take away our pain, create in us a new heart, and give us a steadfast spirit. Do not cast us away, but fill us with your Holy Spirit, and restore your joy within us. Amen. As tender as parent to child, so deep is God's compassion for you. As high as heaven is above earth, so vast is God's love for you. As far as east is from west, so far God removes all your sins from you, renewing your life through Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, who crowns us with mercy and with love. Blessed be God forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, with steadfast love, you draw us to yourself, and in mercy receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, and through the life and the death of Christ, may we live in your Son, Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it's for this reason that I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. I don't know if you noticed it, but things have changed over the past 5 weeks as we focused on the first reading from Hebrew Scripture and God's covenant with creation. There was the covenant with Noah and his family after the flood. "Never again," God says, "will I destroy the earth with a flood. When you see the rainbow, you will remember my promise." And like Pastor Jeff said last week, there is a rebellion, and then there is restoration, a change. Then there was the covenant with Abraham and Sarah, and the promise of a son. "Your descendants will number like the stars of heaven." And it all sounds good until you get to Genesis chapter 22, when God tests Abraham. You did read the rest of the story, didn't you? After waiting all their lives for a child and for God to keep that promise, why in the world would God ask Abraham to give his only begotten son and sacrifice everything? Just like Noah and the flood, there's a dark side to that story. It's only at the last second, as Abraham raises the knife over Isaac, that God relents and provides a scapegoat for the sacrifice. What a dramatic change. And then think about the story that Pastor Jeff read last week about the snakes on the plain. When the people rebelled, Numbers 21 says that God sent snakes to bite and kill the people. The implication is they got what they deserved. It was only after they repented that they were restored. I guess you could call that a change of heart, but on whose part? The people or God? And then this week, the text with Jeremiah contrasts with the commandments given to Moses on Mount Sinai. You remember the story from Exodus 21. The people set up camp at the foot of Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up the mountain to meet God. It's a hard climb, way up the mountain, and the air is thin, and by the time Moses reaches the summit, he has a headache. So God speaks to him and says, "Moses, take these two tablets and call me in the morning." Okay, that's not exactly what God said. But the law was written in stone. An external set of commands to govern our relationship with God and each other. And now it changes. Jeremiah talks about a new covenant that God makes with the people. Not written in stone, but written on the heart. A kinder and gentler covenant. Less law, more gospel. Did you notice that things changed? The new covenant is radically different from the old covenant. And you have to ask yourself the question, what changed? Is it possible that God changed? Does God change? The traditional answer to that question is yes. The Bible often talks about God having a change of heart, regretting the punishment, like the flood, and relenting from evil, like the snakes and the sacrifice of Abraham's son. But there are problems with that explanation. Because doesn't the Bible also say that God is unchanging? That God's the beginning and the end, the Alpha, the Omega. The prophet Malachi simply says, "I, the Lord, do not change." To say that God changes, that God is now kinder and gentler, is like saying that God is like every parent who changes with every child. A few weeks ago, Pastor Pam asked how many of you grew up with siblings. I have 4 siblings, all older than me. That makes me the baby in the family, and believe me, I rode that for all it's worth. By the time I was born, my oldest sibling was already a teenager. And she had strict rules to follow. Isn't that the way parents are with the first child? They lay down the law. It's no wonder that the eldest child is often the most rebellious, testing every boundary and law. And then with each subsequent child, the parents change because they realize that while rules and laws are necessary to govern society, families are built on love, and you can't legislate love. Love has to come from within. So by the time I was old enough to go out of the house to play with my friends or borrow the car to go on a date, there were no rules. My parents had changed. You might say they were kinder and gentler. The reality is that they were worn out by my older brothers and sisters. Each of the 5 children in our family had a different relationship with our mother and father because as we aged, our parents changed. Now, we were lucky. We had great parents. They weren't perfect, but they loved and they cared for us. And part of parenting is knowing that there are no perfect parents, that we make mistakes. Except for God, who is the perfect parent. And if God is perfect, there's no need to change. A covenant is a covenant. A promise is a promise. God is God. So let me ask the question again. Does God change, or do we change? It's entirely possible to read the stories we've read over the past 5 weeks and conclude that God has changed from a God of wrath and retribution, whom we fear, to a God of grace and forgiveness, whom we love. But that makes God sound as good or bad as every human parent. What if God never changes, but we do? What if the flood and the snakes and the sacrifices don't come from God? What if they, like that serpent in the garden, are just facts of life that we have to deal with? What if the trials and temptations we face don't come from God, but like Jesus in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, they are simply part of life? What if God does not lead us into temptation, but instead saves us from the time of trial? What if, when we wander away and squander our inheritance, God still loves us and runs out to meet us and welcome us home? That's the God we meet in the Bible, a God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, a God who makes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust alike, a God who is good and whose mercy endures forever. God's covenant never changes because God doesn't change. We do. That's the new covenant written in our hearts. That's the God we all know, from the greatest to the least. The God who forgives your iniquity and remembers your sin no more. Amen.
Thank you.
And now together we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now, trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need. God of the covenant, through the church, you draw us into community. We give thanks for the means of grace around which we gather. Inspire writers, musicians, and artists whose creative gifts adorn our worship. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of all that exists, you lavish the earth with extravagant beauty, preserve the rich and complex diversity of all living things, support local, national, and international efforts to protect the environment for future generations. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of the nations, you desire peace and plenty for all people. Defend those who challenge oppression and expose corruption. Support advocates for human rights, social justice, and the welfare of children. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of goodwill, you restore what is broken. We pray for any experiencing estrangement, conflict, or abuse in families and intimate relationships. Protect and comfort all who are vulnerable, especially those living in institutions. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of every time and every place, you are with us. Support ministries of prayer and presence in this congregation. Move us to reach out to any who are homebound, lonely, grieving, in treatment, or ill. We pray especially for those we name now in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of promise, we give thanks for the saints who inspire us. Especially today, we pray for Patrick, missionary to Ireland. Grant us faith to trust in your everlasting love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Accompany us in our journey, O God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And now, Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.